Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
I want to thank my legal counsel from the bottom of my heart. And I would also like to thank the state of Illinois for attempting to do what's right.
Empire actor Jussie Smollett feeling vindicated today after all 16 criminal counts were dropped against him. That story and the end, is it, of the Mueller investigation? It's what's on deck tonight at the Reporters Roundtable. My guests are Howard University Law Professor Lisa Crooms Robinson and Justin Duckham, political analyst. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. We're going to start with Jussie Smollett. Boy, oh boy, were we surprised today. Lisa, you had to be surprised at hearing about this.
I was surprised at the resolution of it.
What do you mean by that?
I've never heard of a case where an indictment came down after a grand jury, and then after all of that, there's an agreement reached between the parties that results in the case being sealed, and it results in the case being sealed and him forfeiting the $10,000 bond, which sounds as if he's paid a fine in exchange for the charges being dropped.
But it's interesting because you said it sounds like he's paid a fine, but do we know whether or not that is the case? Because, yes, he's forfeited the bond, these charges were dropped, but the case is sealed. Mystery, mystery, mystery. Is that kind of opaque dealings with the court usual? Usually, don't we know what has happened?
It depends on the circumstances. But this case seems to be one where perhaps privilege played a role in this being an option for him to address shortcomings on the part of the Chicago Police Department.
Justin, your thoughts about that. Is this privilege, politics, justice, or just Jussie?
Well, I mean, I think you can't divorce the fact that this is somebody who has means, somebody who is very prominent in the public eye. So anytime you have something like that and you have a legal outcome like this, you kind of have to look at that as the root cause. But overall, what's striking about this is just how little we know about this. Even right now, we still don't understand if this is a huge misstep on behalf of prosecutors, if there was something wrong with the evidence, if there was an issue with the witnesses. And now that we have it sealed, there's really no assurances that we're going to see any of this information come leaking out. And as it stands right now, it looks like this very well could be Smollett's word against the Chicago Police Department.
Why would a case like this be sealed? I mean, what would cause a judge to allow this a case like this to be sealed?
It's a lot of speculation on my part.
Okay.
As I said, I don't, let's put it this way. I doubt very seriously that potentially a similarly situated resident of Chicago without means, without the notoriety, would have in fact been offered this particular deal. And sealed is different from expunged.
Well, we got a late report today that this has also been the state case has been expunged. I mean, there was a report on one of the networks just minutes ago that something like that has happened. And so talk to me about the difference.
Sealed, having a case sealed is made available to an individual who has previously been convicted of a crime. Expungement generally is only available if you have no prior convictions. Mm-hmm. The end result is the same. That is, it will not be part of the public record.
Mm-hmm.
no one will have access to it as a matter of public record. So although we call them different things, as I said, the end result is the same. Mm-hmm.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're at the Reporters Roundtable talking about two of the big stories of this past week. Of course, Jussie Smollett, the actor from Empire, having all 16 counts against him dropped. He was accused of lying to police about an alleged racial attack. Also, we're going to talk about the Mueller report, what has happened and what comes next. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So, Justin, is it possible that even though these charges were dropped, because of the visceral nature of the comments by the police chief and also the mayor of Chicago, that they still believe that he is guilty? Is it possible that they just either they made a mistake or the prosecution probably was unable to prove the allegations?
Well, I mean, the police chief, the superintendent, rather, and the mayor certainly do believe that he's guilty. Prosecutors have said that this is not an exoneration as well in the statement that they put out, even though they said that this was a judicious move on their part. And, you know, as you mentioned, a lot of this is really rooted in speculation. And, you know, as somebody who's not a lawyer, I'm going to jump in here and speculate wildly. Maybe not wildly, but not only would this deal probably not have come up had Jussie Smollett not been such a major figure in the public eye, but what was going to happen probably would not have occurred in the same way had Smollett been a nobody. This is something that would have absolutely reflected on Chicago as a city. This would have tarnished their already less than sterling reputation when it comes to the police. This would reawaken a series of old scandals that we've seen. And ultimately, this may just have been something that prosecutors decided just wasn't the risk. But again, wild speculation.
Well, you know, I think to that point, I don't, and who knows, but it didn't appear as though the police and the mayor were putting up just a bold defensive front, considering what, as you said, some of the kinds of difficulties that the Chicago Police Department has had. They were very forthright. They were very, very upset, and they felt wronged. And even the police superintendent said he believed that the city of Chicago deserved an apology. But even if you look at the politics of this as well, because we know that there were hundreds of hours spent on this, 12 detectives spent on this, and one of the things that the community was crying out about was that these 12 detectives could have been better utilized solving Chicago's murder issue. And so maybe were they carrying this out because they did not want to look like they were eating crow?
I don't know. I think that Rahm Emanuel called this a whitewashing of justice, mm-hmm. which I have found to be a very interesting choice of words.
Oh, my.
In the context of all that we know about Chicago. Part of this goes to the way government is set up.
What do you mean by that?
Well, the government is based on this notion of the separation of powers. So the police as well as the mayor stand on the execution side, that is the enforcement side, and that's split from the judicial side. So the judicial piece made a decision that the executive branch people are now quite upset about, and they're not willing to back down. But I find it quite interesting that this is the case that Rahm Emanuel and the police superintendent appeared to want to make a case.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be very curious.
Right. And on that front, we also had Rahm Emanuel coming out today and saying this isn't a victimless crime in the sense that if there are future hate crimes in Chicago, then people are going to be less inclined to believe those victims. You know, there's some sense in that, but coming from a mayor, I think a larger, concern should obviously be, you know, why are you expecting hate crimes to happen? What are you doing to stop those future ones? And again, is this just trying to make what essentially is a victimless crime larger to save political face publicly? It just raises questions.
But, you know, but I think, and I think to that point, and this is something that I find really interesting, David Johns with the National Black Justice Coalition, in a video statement and also a printed statement released today, and I think the video statement was really interesting. He said that in the wake of what has happened, why is it that members of the LGBTQ community, particularly people of color in the LGBTQ community are less likely to be believed once there is an allegation that they have been attacked. And certainly this was an issue that came up in the very beginning. Back in January, where this came up, Johns came out, and you had many people from Hollywood. You had activists, and the like, who were coming out and talking about that. And I think that it remains a question. No matter whether you are a supporter of the community or not.
Oh, absolutely. But I think that it remains a question for people across race.
Right.
That blackness and brownness come with questions about credibility when people make allegations about violence done to them. So in this way, what happened to Jussie Smollett is in many respects no different from what happened to Rodney King, for example, what happened to Tamir Rice. All of those incidents, quite honestly, are tainted by the notion that there is something incredible about those types of allegations or even when we have footage, the fact of violence against black people and brown people is often discounted by their race. So I wouldn't expect it to be any different for members of the LGBTQ community who are also people of color.
I have some more to say about that as well. And we're also going to talk about the Mueller report, of course, that bomb or lead balloon, depending on what you think about it, dropped last Friday. And we are still talking about it. The president seems to be happy about it. Democrats, not so much. What do you think about it? Dan, calling from D.C., we're going to talk to you. Also, if you have a comment about Jussie Smollett, like to hear from you as well. Lines are open. We're going to open up those lines and talk to you next at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown will continue with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. But we will have this conversation on Sirius XM, Channel 141. We'll be back in just a few seconds. Stay with us.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU, and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
The Mueller report was great. It could not have been better. It said no obstruction, no collusion. It could not have been better.
Well, there you go. President Trump talking about the release of the summary of the Mueller report that was submitted to Attorney General William Barr by Special Counsel Robert Mueller last week. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to continue our conversation about the Jussie Smollett case. Of course, we are at the Reporters Roundtable tonight. My guests are Howard University Law Professor Lisa Crooms Robinson and political analyst Justin Duckham. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Carol calling from D.C. You want to talk about the Smollett case? What's on your mind?
Hi, I'm just calling to make a curious comment about Michael Avenatti Avalani and Mark Gergos, who are primary attorneys who are supposed to be representing Smollett. And I was wondering if there could be a potential angle, because Avalani was indicted in the Southern District Court in New York yesterday, and Mark Gergos is also he was terminated from several news stations as a legal analyst because he's associated with that. So since they were primary potential attorneys for Smollett, I was just wondering if that could be an angle here.
Curiouser and curiouser, particularly with the Avenatti case. Any thoughts about that, Justin, at all?
You know, when there was an announcement that there was going to be an emergency hearing, obviously there was a lot of people drawing connections between the two dots of Smollett and Mark Gergos. But ultimately, looking at this, his name wasn't on the statement. It didn't look like he was that involved at this point, even though he's mainly just sort of a public lawyer, a TV talking head of sorts. So I don't think there's a connection here. It is absolutely interesting to see so many of these people kind of brought in, and this weird avalanche of news all happening simultaneously. But sometimes coincidences do happen.
Is the law so incestuous, Lisa?
Well, Gergos originally did make a statement to news journalists. He was asked to make a public announcement on March 9th about the Jussie Smollett case, and he did say he represented Smollett.
Well, I mean, Gergos is somebody who seeks out high-profile individuals. He's a celebrity lawyer. He likes to be in front of the TV cameras, and I'm sure he had a certain level of connections to kind of getting himself involved in this case. But, again, I just don't necessarily see the connection here.
Lisa, good real question, quick, do you have a thought about it?
No. Quite honestly, no.
No, but I mean, it is a good question. That's what we were thinking this morning when, you know, we saw him coming up for that hearing. At least that's where my mind immediately went, so.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I'm surprised that Carol didn't ask about R. Kelly because, of course, you know, Avenatti was also, how can we forget that? Ooh. Carol, thank you so much. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dan, calling from D.C., you want to comment about President Trump. Go right ahead.
Just so many several questions. So the Trump-appointed Attorney General Barr says that basically, you know, it doesn't completely exonerate Trump of anything. Okay? But, I mean, the proof is out there. We know what this man has done. And I just want to know, when will this tyranny end? I'm getting so sick and tired. You know, we have the Democrats hold the House, but in order to impeach, it has to go through the Senate. And we all know that the Senate is ran by the Republicans. When will the Republicans wake up and say enough is enough? So now we have to wait another 18 months until we have another election, and God only knows what will happen then. I just pray that we find a competent president in the next election, because the one that we have is destroying America.
Dan, let me see what my panelists have to say about that. Lisa, Dan said a mouthful, but you know, as it relates to, you know, the Mueller report, which some would argue is a political document, not so much a legal document, and there are always the questions about whether or not a sitting president can be indicted. But essentially, as I said, depending on how you feel about the president and the Mueller investigation, this could have dropped like a lead balloon on Friday with what little bit we know. And even the 4-page summary issued by the Attorney General, it doesn't say much.
It doesn't say much. So until we see more of the report or the potential of witnesses being called before committees on both the House and the Senate side, we are left with an information vacuum. What appears to be the case is that if there is something there, the only option, given the question about under what circumstances can a president be indicted while in office, And it appears that much of what at least is referenced in Barr's letter and was addressed by Mueller happened before Trump became president. I don't think that a criminal indictment will probably happen with respect to the president, but it doesn't mean that impeachment isn't an option. But impeachment requires proof of high crimes and misdemeanors, and whether
and political will
mm-hmm. and political will, yes, and perhaps more political will than either high crimes or misdemeanors. Quite honestly, it's disheartening to think that we are presented with, or we should in fact be presented with, the results of an investigation, and it appears that much of that investigation, the results of that investigation, are going to be withheld from the public, even though I think it was a majority, or was it unanimous?
It was unanimous.
420-0 in
that,
the House.
Exactly. That the report itself be released. But as long as Barr, I guess, has the discretion to do so, and it appears that no one can force him to, in fact, release it, we're in this limbo where we have to rely on his interpretation of what, in fact, has been presented to him.
Mm-hmm. Your thoughts, Justin?
Just going to what Dan was saying, it looks like impeachment is off the table, not that it was really ever securely on the table in the first place. As you mentioned, a lot of it really has to do with political will, and that just isn't there. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has said that she would only move forward with this if there was overwhelming evidence of wrongdoing and criminal behavior, and also if it was so egregious that it would get bipartisan support. Right now with lawmakers, a lot of them are feeling a sense of relief. You know, even if there are a lot of lingering questions in terms of their supporters and those who are going to be voting for them down the road, they now have, as the president apparently put it behind closed doors today, a clean bill of health with him. And that is not good for the impeachment prospect. What we do know, however, is that this has, as of now, not really impacted his popularity. A lot of people who may have been on the fence for the president haven't quite surrounded him and suddenly decided that they're going to be major supporters. There's actually some polling to reflect that. A Morning Consult Politico poll that came out this afternoon that shows that there is not yet a bump. And that should be significant, especially considering 2020 is coming up. And if being, you know, in his words, exonerated from collusion isn't enough to, you know, save his sinking popularity, I'm really not sure what would be.
Interesting. Dan, thank you so much for your phone call. No, go right ahead, Lisa, please.
I was going to say, we do have to keep in mind, however, that we've gotten 34, 35 indictments.
Right.
So it's not as if there's nothing there. Mm. Hence, I'm not quite sure that I would embrace the president's happiness about the fact that there appears to be no evidence of collaboration or collusion or cooperation with respect to the very specific things that Mueller was looking into.
Right. And if we are talking about impeachable offenses, I think it's probably pretty safe to say that there's a case that could be made for there right off the bat. If you just look at what happened in the Southern District of New York and the fact that you have a longtime Trump confidant saying that he violated campaign finance laws at the president's request and was still paying him off once in office. So, you know, again, it comes down to a political will issue, I would think, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Dan, again, thank you so much. But I think that we always have to remember that this was about whether or not the Trump campaign colluded, cooperated with the Russian government to impact the 2016 election. And the collusion piece is one thing, which from what we understand in William Barr's four-page summary, that based on what Mueller passed to him, that wasn't the case. But I think the piece about obstruction of justice, where Mueller has essentially punted on that, no matter whether it was what was happening with what former FBI Director James Comey was alleging, what Mike Flynn, among many others. And I just find that to be just strange, for lack of, you know, a really accurate multisyllabic word. It's just the whole thing is strange. How can you? And certainly we don't know what's in the report, but how can you say that there was no attempt of obstruction of justice as it relates to the Mike Flynn and the Comey thing? I just find that to be really, really fascinating to me.
And those are questions similar to Jussie Smollett's case. Those are questions that we cannot possibly answer without having access to the actual report. And the potential damage done to democracy, if you think about it this way, to withhold the information and to reduce whatever one can only assume has to be reams of paper produced by Mueller and his team to four single space pages is what I find to be so alarming. And the hope is, I'm not quite sure how it's going to happen, but it will come to light, one hopes, regardless of whether it leads to further action as it relates to either removing the current president or further indictments or convictions.
But see, and you brought up the Jussie Smollett situation, and I think this is the important thing. If you are indeed innocent of what you are accused of, Smollett or Trump, transparency would likely bolster your argument. And let's go back to Jussie Smollett. Before the break, we were talking about black and brown people in general, and more specifically in the LGBTQ community, and whether or not they are to be believed and the like. And Jussie Smollett said, "I've maintained this the entire time." So then, why request that your case be sealed? Put it out there. Let us see. And this isn't because he's black or brown or a member of the LGBTQ community. He could be a blue-eyed white woman accused of a crime and then have 16 charges dropped and have and still have her case sealed, and I would say the same thing.
Well, there's going to be some very politically uncomfortable information in this report when it ultimately comes out, and if it does ultimately come out, that may not be illegal, but still is something that the president probably doesn't want out there. You probably don't want much more attention paid to the fact that you had a deal with the Russians ahead of the 2016 election to build Trump Tower Moscow. You probably don't want to revisit the fact that your longtime political advisor, Roger Stone, was, you know, passing along information between somebody who turned out to be a Russian stooge using, an alias. And you also don't want to draw attention to the fact that you had Russians who were offering to try to help tilt the campaign, as the summary letter does state, and didn't call off the FBI. None of that makes you look good, and these short, brief sentences that we got from the report from Barr paint a much different picture than that. So I totally understand why the White House would want to keep this sealed.
I want to take a break. I want to drill down a little bit more on that after we come back. Stay with us. We're at the Reporters Roundtable. We're talking about the Mueller report and Jussie Smollett. What is next for both of these cases? Stay with us, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. We're at the Reporters Roundtable talking about the Jussie Smollett case as well as the Mueller report. So I want to drill down a little bit more about this, because there was a lot of talk today. Obviously the initial reports from the police and even from prosecutors was that the two actors, fitness experts who were training Jussie Smollett, it was originally alleged that after hours and hours of talking to them, that they said that Jussie Smollett paid them to stage this attack, and there was this $3,500 check that they said was not just for fitness training, but also for paying them for staging this attack. And now the speculation today is that the $3,500 was just for fitness, and that they may have actually been the perpetrators of the attack. And then Clutch the Pearls, black people, if that allegation, that speculation is true, black people committing hate crimes, well, it does happen. It does happen. One of the cases that we saw just last year, not so much a hate crime, but a something related to that, was at the Air Force Academy, where there was a lot of some hateful acts and things put on social media and the like, and it turned out to be a black cadet. And so we don't know. So far, there have been no additional charges or any word from the police about this. But those kind of things are not necessarily outside the realm of possibility, because certainly this case is, as I said earlier, curiouser and curiouser and stranger.
Absolutely. But I think that it does point out that as much as we like to talk about community as if it's a monolith, that the axes along which people are able to exercise power over other people often are the fault lines where things like violence or oppression take place. So to hear the possibility, but we don't know, right?
Yeah, we don't know. Yeah.
The possibility that the two brothers did this of their own volition and were somehow motivated to commit a hate crime as against another person who's of African descent.
And someone with whom they worked for quite some time. why would this come out? The only other issue as it relates to the Smollett case is that there is still the issue of the letter that he received, and this is a federal situation where there is possibly the allegation of federal mail fraud, because it was alleged that he mailed that letter to himself, and using the U.S. Postal Service, obviously that's federal. That's the thing that's really kind of dangling out there, and right, that may be something that he still has to address.
And apparently the FBI is still investigating that letter, so there is seriously a possibility that this could come up back again and that this may not be over.
Yeah, exactly. It may not. But moving forward with Jussie Smollett, let us assume for the sake of argument that all of this blows over, including, the FBI investigation mm-hmm. into the letter. The initial allegation from the police was that he was using this to raise his profile and make more money. It may be likely that after this is over, he may get his job back. He may be back on Empire. Empire has this season seen some rather low ratings. Could that boost ratings and also boost his paycheck?
It's America. Of course it could.
Don't you do negotiating for talent on occasion?
On occasion,
on occasion. Yes.
But I mean, of course, course, that would work out to his benefit. But it would be incredibly sad to think,
absolutely,
that if that was ultimately his objective, that this was perhaps the best course in his eyes at that time. But we don't know. And I don't know that we'll ever know.
But the America piece also, America loves second chances.
Yes, we do.
Yes, indeed.
Do we? Dude, come on.
Well, if you're rich,
fair.
If you're famous, if you're talented,
then you can buy your way into USC.
But we're in a post-second chances society right now. We've decided that when we're done with people, we're done with people. So this was a risk. You know, he could have lost it all, and it really highlights how much he went through if he did what the cops said.
Well, we can always expect a Lifetime movie on Jussie Smollett.
Oh, my God, yes. I'd watch it.
Let's go to, help me with this. Is this Carmisha calling from Germantown? Did I get you? Carmita. Hi, how are you? What's on your mind?
Thank you so much for listening to your conversation. I didn't even hear you when you came on the air.
Oh, that's quite all right. What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to comment on both the Jussie Smollett situation and number 45.
Go right ahead.
Situation. My thing is that throughout his campaign, he said that he was going to win the election. Throughout his first round, his first 2 years in office, he said he was not going to be found of any collusion. It's all a witch hunt. My question is, how did you know you were going to win the election? And how did you know you were going to be vindicated of no crime? Are you really free of no crime with all of the men around you indicted? Are you really? And for the Jussie Smollett situation, I wanted to know, what deal did they come upon to vindicate him from the crimes that they say he is guilty of?
I'll let Justin do the Trump piece, and Lisa, you could definitely handle the legal stuff. Go right ahead, Justin.
Yeah, I mean, just one of the issues with Trump is that it's really hard to nail down when something he's saying is just I don't want to swear an error, but just bragging or just making stuff up. Or, you know, lying, or when it's actually an earnest thing that he's trying to get across. You know, this is somebody who was saying as of recently that he canceled sanctions that didn't even exist yet. Somebody whose press secretary tried to defend this notion that he had a huge turnout at his inauguration. You know, if I was going to list off all the examples, but needless to say, there's a lot of times that Trump has lied, and yeah, we all know it. So I don't believe that he actually thought he was going to win, and I think he was probably just kind of bluffing when he spoke about a lot of the Mueller issue. I think he chose his words a lot, and even in that case, we saw instances of him lying quite a bit, you know, denying the Moscow deal, denying the Stormy Daniels payment, which came up related to the Mueller probe, denying changing the statement about Trump Jr. meeting with the Russians. So I don't think you can really put too much stock into what he said during the campaign and the denials. I don't think that's necessarily enough to show that, you know, he knew.
Real quick, Lisa, what kind of deal? We've been trying to figure that out. So help Carmita real quick.
Okay, so as far as I understand it, he was facing 16 felony counts of disorderly conduct as a result of a grand jury. The deal is that those counts are dropped. His case is sealed, which means no one from the public can, in fact, access the records. And it doesn't show up as a conviction or doesn't show up on his record.
But even during the press conference, his lawyer said today there was no deal. She said that, but again, just as Justin was suggesting with President Trump, things are not always what they appear to be.
Absolutely. He forfeited this $10,000 bond, and he got credit for community service that he's already performed.
Something to think about. Thank you so much for giving us a call. I was going to put the number out there. No, we're not doing another hour. We are definitely getting out of here. I want to thank Justin Duckham and also our law professor Lisa Crooms Robinson. This is Justin's last time. We're going to lose him. Go west, young man.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. We love you, man, and good luck to you.
Thank you.
Really, really appreciate your time. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Tuesday, March 26th. I'm Harold Fisher. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.